Get Curry's Chocolates at your neighborhood Curry's Ice Cream and Candy Store.
Sound off! Sound off! Sound off for Chesterfield!
Hope, Sessler, and Crosby, too. Como and Godfrey follow through. Lester and Allen, they all tell you.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it!
Today!
Chesterfields present the Bob Hope Show. Transcribed direct from the U.S. Naval Station at Long Beach. With Les Brown and his band of renown. For Chesterfields, yours truly, Hi Averback. Our special guests, Jane Russell and Bing Crosby. And here he is, Bob Hope!
Thank you very, very much. It's nice being here for the Navy, picking up a little cigarette money. And it's really a thrill to be back on radio this year. In fact, it's even a thrill to think that radio is back this year. You know, this year, for a joke, the sponsor printed my contract on Chesterfield cigarette paper. But before I could get hold of it, it blew into the rolling machine. So please, folks, before you light up, look at your Chesterfield. You may be smoking my future. But I'm thrilled to be back for Chesterfield. Chesterfield also has Perry and Bing, you know, Como and Bromo. Of course, Bing's a natural for a tobacco show with that pouch. And Arthur Godfrey. And Arthur Godfrey, that's Fort Knox with freckles, he also sells Chesterfield. Incidentally, the Navy Department gave Godfrey a commission. They had to. He threatened to buy his own Navy. But I'm glad to be back working for Chesterfields, even though I didn't know till the last minute that they were signing me. You never saw a contract with so many butts. They took so long making up their minds, I thought I finally they were going to change the name of the cigarette to Eisenhower's. But anyway, see, they took so long making up their minds. But I finally caught them with their cartons down, and I'm here to say that Chesterfield's is a wonderful cigarette, and they really satisfy. Well, I'd rather smoke a Chesterfield than have a date with Jane Russell. I'm getting punchy, ain't I? Sounds like I was in that fight, too. Of course, everything that happens in Hollywood is exaggerated. Hollywood is always in the news. Just this week, the senators objected to the Air Force hiring Frankie Lane to recruit men. I can't understand their objection. I think Frankie Lane might change the Army routine for the better. Instead of waking up the GIs with a bugle, he'll have Jezebel go around and nudge everybody. And using big entertainers could help the recruiting program, but it might cause some confusion. Imagine a poster with a picture of Dagmar in a sweater and underneath it in big letters, "The Army Builds Men." And if they use Esther Williams for recruiting, the Army would want to join the Navy. See, she swims, you know. Took so long making up their minds, I thought they were going to change the name of the cigarette to Eisenhower. But I do want to thank the Chesterfield Company for giving me this opportunity to entertain you wonderful Navy people. And I want to thank Captain Heine. I had dinner with a captain tonight, and he really believes in tradition. I accidentally spilled my soup on him, and he went down with the table. Thank you. Friends, every day thousands and thousands of smokers are doing what I'd like you to do today, or tomorrow for sure. They're changing to Chesterfield because Chesterfield gives every smoker something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. You folks who smoke Chesterfields know all about that mildness. You people who haven't tried them yet, listen to what the men who grow tobacco say.
1,562 prominent tobacco growers say Chesterfields are milder. Chesterfields have a milder aroma that tells you Chesterfields smoke milder.
And take it from me, they are milder, and Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
One of the world's greatest industrial research organizations reported that Chesterfield is the only cigarette Of all brands smoked and examined, that leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
So, folks, next time you buy cigarettes, try Chesterfield. Get something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Get all the pleasure there is while you smoke, plus the pleasure of no unpleasant aftertaste. Try them. You'll like them. Say, thank you. Hi, that was great. Why don't you run across the street and get yourself some coffee?
Coffee?
Yeah, and take Les Brown and the whole band with you. I can handle the show from here by myself.
Aren't you a little obvious, Bob? Jane Russell's on the show tonight, and you want her all to yourself. Why are you so selfish about girls?
Well, my psychiatrist says I have a neurosis stemming from a prenatal avaricious aberration that lies dormant in the evanescence of my subconscious.
What does that mean in plain English?
Now, come on, all you guys get lost.
Oh, Bob, you have to be like that about Jane. Why are you so afraid to bring a pretty girl out while us fellas are here?
Hi, let me put it this way. If I had to walk through a lion's den, would I wear hamburger earrings? Besides, I happen to know I'm a big favorite with Jane Russell. The other day, the elevator at Paramount was full of handsome leading men, and I was the only one she spoke to.
Really? What did she say?
Let me out at the third floor. On the way out, knock on Jane's door and tell her Poochie is waiting, will you? That's what she calls me.
Poochie?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, I happen to know she calls her Cocker Spaniel the same thing.
That's what she used to call her Cocker Spaniel, so I proved I could bring back a rubber ball much faster.
Okay, if that's the way you want
to be. Gee, I hope I can get Jane to really notice me. I spent all afternoon getting ready. Well, I get rid of Les Brown and High. Now, if everything goes all right, it'll be clear sailing. Come in, you beautiful doll.
Okay, shall I flutter my eyelashes?
Oh, Crosby!
Thank you.
Well, what are you doing here? Who invited you?
Nobody. This is right on my beat, Long Beach. A lot of good ocean fishing down here, boy.
Oh, working in the cannery again this year, huh?
Oh, now, Rob, you can do better than that.
Easy, Frogman. Look, I'm busy.
An honorable thanks for the service.
We're very busy here. Why don't you go somewhere and count Gary's royalties?
Oh, no, you don't. You don't do that to me. I'm going to stick around here for the main event. I saw that sign outside that said Jane Russell tonight. For me, that's for me.
Don't get too excited, Dad. Your corpuscles will think you're living again. I hate to disillusion you, Fletcher, but Jane isn't here tonight.
No?
No. So turn off your ignition. We changed our plans. Since we're at the Navy base, we're playing host to one of the older servicemen.
Really?
Yes.
Gee, I'd like to get a look at the old boy. I just passed his dressing room and I got a whiff of Chanel number 5.
Well, he used to be on the SS Missouri, and you know how...
I knew you'd never get past that.
And you know how Truman pampers those fellas.
Yeah.
As the punchline came in sections. So you see, all that's going to happen is we're going to have this old veteran on the show.
Well, I'm glad you told me. If Miss Russell isn't here, there's no use my sticking around. I'll be seeing you.
Okay, so long.
Hey, Bob, here I am back again. Do you want me to bring Jane Russell out now?
Uh-huh.
Hi. Have you ever considered having your mouth laced up and selling that pointed head for a football?
Oh, did I say something harmful?
No, not if your mother's still holding your place in line at the unemployment office.
Oh, don't worry, Hi. I'll take care of you. Hi, if old Dungeon Pockets fires you, you can come over and work on my show.
Oh, could I, sir?
Yes, sir.
You mean you'll take me away from all this?
Certainly. Just consider it my contribution to the crusade for freedom. On my show, you'll be your own boss.
Oh, do you mean I can have my initials monogrammed on my shorts?
What's on him now?
The Bob Hope Show on every Tuesday night. Don't miss him. He's a wow.
This lad has the sterling qualities that...
I'm not interrupting anything.
Well, Jane, come in.
Oh, thank you, everyone. Hi, Bing.
Hiya, Jane. My, the ancient veterans are getting better looking every year.
And how are you, Poochie?
Jane, I'll have to apologize for the presence of Saggy here. He wasn't invited. He wasn't really invited. He came in on the Grunion run.
Oh, Bob, I'm always glad to see both of you boys, and you know it.
Yeah, but think how much better it would if he weren't here, you and I alone. Jane, we go together like Anthony and Cleopatra, Romeo and Juliet, Artie Shaw and anybody.
Hey, Jane, you'll forgive me for asking, but what is a beautiful star like you doing on this low-class clam bake here with vacuum talent?
Well, you see, Bob promised me a highly dramatic role if I appeared on the show tonight.
Yeah?
I'm to be the star of the play.
Oh, well, heaven knows I'm not one to be suspicious, but exactly what is he trying to rope you into?
Well, he said the play is a saga of a beautiful woman's loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Lighthouse Keeper's Daughter.
Mm-hmm, and I... Unquestionably, he's the lighthouse keeper.
I'm the lighthouse.
Boy, you got the beacon for it. Say, people, I'm sure this little drama would establish new heights in the theater, but I don't see how we'll have time for it. Because, you see, perceiving an opportunity for a plug, I thoughtfully brought along a scene from my current cinema smash, Here Comes the Groom.
Ooh, I saw that picture, Bing, and I loved it.
Well, thank you. I rather liked it myself.
You know, the music was excellent.
It had quite a good score.
And your voice was never better.
Thank you again.
Awful lonesome in this lighthouse.
Bob, don't you think that at this point a gracious host would ask Bing to sing something?
Well, don't embarrass him, Jane. Bing can't sing alone anymore. His voice is too weak.
Too weak?
Yeah, he can't get his tonsils to stand up until he gargles with cornstarch. I better do something with mine, don't you?
I like cornstarch. That's fun, too.
The other night, he and Mel Torme sang a duet together. With Mel pulling and Bing pushing, they finally managed to get the Mockingbird halfway up the hill.
I will give the lie. I'll give the lie to that bass canard here now by knocking out a big fat chorus of a song called Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening. I think I know the word.
Well, sail, fatso. A lot of these fellas are used to combat, so go ahead, Larry.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
save your pappy a chair. When the party's getting a glow on and singing fills the air, in the shank of the night when the dunes are right, well, you can tell them I'll be there. Sue wants a barbecue, Sam wants to boil a ham, Grace votes for bouillabaisse stew. Jake wants a weenie baked steak and a layer cake. He'll get a tummy ache too. We'll rent a tent or a teepee.
Doo-doo.
Let the town crier cry.
Doo-doo.
And if it's RSVP,
doo-doo,
this is what I'll reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, slick 'em on my hair. And when the party's getting a glow on, singing fills the air. If I'm still on my feet and there's something to eat, well, you can tell 'em I'll be there.
We said the bumblebee, let's have a jubilee. When said the prairie hen, soon. Sure said the dinosaur, where said the grizzly bear, under the light of the moon. Doo-doo.
How about your brother Jackass? Everyone gaily cried. You come into the fracas, and over his specs he sighed.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
tell 'em we'll be there.
If they want a pass on a deadhead,
sort of fracture their affair. Now when the party's getting a glow on, and singing fills the air, If there's gas in my hack and my laundry is back, if you need a new face or a tenor or bass, if I can find the right sock by 11 o'clock in the shank of the night when they're fixing to fight, if I can climb out of bed and put a head on my head, well, you can tell her we'll be there.
Yes, sir. That's wonderful, Bing. That's from Here Comes the Goon, huh?
Say,
you know, fellas, everywhere I go, I find the Chesterfields are more popular than ever before.
Oh, would that we could say the same for you, Robert.
Quiet, Crosby. And get to selling Chesterfields before we're both back driving a cab, huh?
Well, fellas, it's true. Chesterfield is on the move everywhere you go. For example, take our colleges and universities. At Northwestern, a leading smoke shop reports Chesterfield sells two packs to one of any other brand. At Cornell and Princeton, Chesterfields lead 3-1.
And Chesterfield leads 3-1 at famous restaurants and night spots like Toots Shore back in New York and Ciro's out here in Hollywood.
Wonder how we're doing right here in Long Beach, Brother Bob.
Well, we'll find out. How about it, Navy? Tell us. Just as I thought, Bing.
Well, then what are we waiting for, Bob?
Let's sound off for Chesterfield. Chesterfield's around the move with something smokers all approve. Go north, go south, go east, go west. It's Chesterfield you like the best. Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it.
Do it.
Science discovered what you can prove. You'd better get into the smoking groove. But Chesterfield now sets the pace with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Chesterfield.
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 Milder, 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 milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
And now hear this and get it straight. Chesterfields are really great. Buy the pack or buy the carton. Your smoking fun will just be darn.
So here's what we want you to do.
Right now.
Yes, here's what we want you to do.
Right now.
Come on, fellas. Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it goes without saying that we're happy to be back doing these shows and telling you about Chesterfield. Tonight's show marks the beginning of autumn and the end of a perfect summer.
An almost perfect summer. The vacation interlude was not without its mishaps, Robert. Remember, you fell into the Gunnison River in Colorado.
Yeah, that's right, Bing. And if it hadn't been for Dr. Light down there, I came very close to drowning.
Oh, yes, it was almost a perfect summer.
Quiet, or I'll tell everybody what the doctors found when they opened you up for appendicitis. What a place to hide a coffee can full of dimes.
Oh, yes.
And don't think falling in that Gunnison River was a joke.
Just how did it happen, Bob?
Well, it's quite a story, Jane. I was a long way from civilization, and I noticed a little general store, so I walked in. There was an old codger in there, about 80 years old, and... Well, how do you do?
Well, how to do to you, stranger.
Are you acting or keeping the eggs warm till the hen gets back? Look, Grandpa, is there any fishing around here?
Yep.
Good fishing?
Fair to middling.
Trout?
Well, for them as can catch 'em.
For them as can catch 'em, huh? Well, I'm a fisherman in spite of these city clothes. In fact, I never miss.
I don't miss very often myself.
Look, where can I find a fishing guide around here?
Well, I'm the fishing guide.
You are?
That's right.
Well, fine. Where's the river?
You know, I've been the guide around here 5 years, and you're the first one to ask where the river is. Well, all right, let's go.
I'll see you later, daughter.
Well, here we are, all alone.
You better get started fishing. You know, they won't bite unless you put something on the hook.
Okay. Hey, what's that big thing swimming around in the live bait tank?
That's Father. He likes to keep an eye on me.
Isn't it romantic drifting along in the river like this? How about a kiss?
No. Stay where you are. Oh, don't stand up in the bowl.
Whoops!
Help! Help! What happened, daughter?
Dad, that's Bob Hope.
It is.
And I can't reach him with the oar.
Well, don't worry, I can.
Oh!
Got him by Granny. Let's go, daughter.
Why are you rowing to shore so fast?
I don't want anybody to get to Paramount ahead of us and collect the reward.
That's the whole story, Jane.
Quite an experience, Robert. Almost as embarrassing as the little episode that occurred to me in that Canadian hotel.
Yes, I read about your getting thrown out of that hotel, Bing. How could the hotel clerk possibly have thought you were a bum?
Well, they show us pictures up there, too.
Nothing of the kind, Chadwick. A friend of myself had just come back to town after a little fishing and hunting. I hadn't shaved for a few days, so I had quite a crop of alfalfa. We walked into the lobby.
Bing, don't you think we look pretty crummy to be going into a first-class hotel? We look like hobos.
Oh, tut, that doesn't bother me.
I know, you're used to it.
I want to get cleaned up. We got to get these trout into the deep freeze.
Okay, but you talk to the clerk.
Service here. Service, please.
Will you ring in that bell?
Oh, I say now, come now. Get out of here, you bum. We don't cater to tramps, you
know. Yeah, steady. Forget the whiskers. Don't you know who I am?
No, but I'll wager you're not the president of the Airwick Company.
Now, will you please get out of here at once? The wallpaper is starting to peel. Now, be off. Be off, you bounder.
Now, wait a minute. We got some fish that have to go in the hotel icebox.
Look at you. Your appearance is frightful. Just look at those long, unkempt sideburns.
Sideburns? Those are two trout I couldn't get in my pocket. Mister, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd be a little more courteous. I've got an idea. Why didn't I think of this before? Listen. Now, do you know who I am?
Mario Lanza's grandmother?
Hey, look, now we gotta get a place to stay tonight. Call the manager. Wait till he finds out who I am, boy.
Well, when the manager found out who you were, that did it, Bing. I knew the hotel wouldn't throw you out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're all set. Look at the size of this place. And the fish can't spoil now.
Oh, quiet. I'm tired. Pick out a block of ice. Let's go to sleep, huh?
Oh, Bing, they didn't actually put you in the hotel refrigerator.
On the square they did, Jane, and that temperature was really low. It was so cold in there, my hair stood on end.
Oh, what a pitiful. What a pitiful sight, the poor little thing standing there shivering.
I choose to ignore that. Now, Jane, you know, I wouldn't have gotten into that scrape in the North Country if it hadn't been for you. Did you know that?
Me?
Of course. I went up there to heal my injured pride, lick my wounds, after I found out that you were making another picture at Paramount with Jazzbo here instead of me. How come?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'd like to be in a picture with both of you boys. You know, one of the road pictures.
Well, see, I think we can oblige, Jane. Let's see, where could we make a road to?
Well, I've always wanted to play a Southern Belle.
Well, that's for us. Pull up a bale of cotton and we're off on the road to New Orleans.
Enchanting New Orleans. It's the year 1900. Down at the levee, the show on the showboat is over, and it is moving out into the Mississippi. Janie, the beautiful star of the show, is leaning on the rail of the upper deck, enjoying the moonlight.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, it's you again.
Now, you got to make up your mind and give me an answer.
Oh, you just think you're in love with me. Why don't you quit following me up and down the river?
Well, that's not easy without a boat.
Besides, sir, this showboat life isn't for you. But anyway, I've already given my heart to Blue Chips Crosby, the gambler. There he is over there. Over there at the roulette table.
Place your bets, everybody, and try your luck.
Step up and beat me, folks. I'm as helpless as a hound dog in a hog wallow. I'll take any bets from silver dollars to black-eyed tears.
Hasn't he got a real southern accent?
Yeah, sounds like Chloe stepped on it with a wet foot.
Play us your best. Janie, would you like me better if I were a gambling man?
Well, I might.
Okay, I'm going right over there and getting that game.
Get your chips down, gentlemen, before the wheel spins. Plenty of numbers for everybody.
I'll plunk it down $10,000 here on number 12.
I'm plunking down $20,000 on number 17.
Well, I'm laying my platinum watch of $15,000 on number 24.
All set, gentlemen.
Now, oh, pardon me, mister.
Yeah, yes?
I'm a little superstitious. Just for luck, would you mind turning my bet over so the buffalo is up?
Thanks, you can spin the wheel any time now.
Just take your bet off the board. We don't cotton to you cheap Yankees around here.
Yankees, I want you to know that I'm from the South and I'm proud of it.
So's the North.
I don't take that kind of talk from anybody.
Very well, sir. I'll be glad to give you satisfaction on the field of honor. Always a pleasure to fight a duel.
I'll fight a duel with you right here and now, Blue Chips, but I want my choice of weapons.
Well, very well. What weapon do you choose?
I'll whisper it to you. Hey, but you pronounce up.
Why, you can't mean it.
I do.
I'd fight you with swords, pistols, even hatchets at two paces, but this is inhuman. What about the innocent bystanders?
You heard me. I chose the weapon, and that's it.
All right, but it'll be ghastly.
If you're ready, gentlemen, take six steps away from each other and turn.
Okay.
Come on to my house, my house, come on. Come on to my house, my house.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your chance to have a world premiere in your own home.
Someone, maybe you, will have the world premiere of Paramount's My Favorite Spy, starring Bob Hope and Hedy Lamarr in his or her home sometime in December. Bob Hope will also be there in person as host at a dinner for the winner. The contest is open to everyone all over the world, and Bob Hope has personally invited servicemen overseas to participate. The award will be made to the person who writes the best letter explaining why I would like to have My Favorite Spy premiered in my home. Send your letter to Bob Hope Contest, Hollywood 38, California.
Hold on, High, that's not all. For you folks listening to our Chesterfield program tonight, there's an extra special contest. Just drop me a note, Bob Hope, NBC, Hollywood, California, telling me why Chesterfield is your favorite cigarette. If the judges say your letter is best, you and your wife, husband, or friend will be my guests at the world premiere of My Favorite Spy. Of course, you got to be a smoking age, and you must be a real Chesterfield smoker, but I know that most of you are anyway. So start those letters coming in right away, telling me why Chesterfield is your favorite cigarette.
Both contests will end midnight, October 31st. All letters remain the property of Bob Hope, and the decision of the judges will be final. The winners will be announced on Bob Hope's Chesterfield program, Tuesday, November 6th.
Oh, thanks for the memories. This Long Beach Naval Base, you received us with such grace. The men you train have nerve and brain to help the human race. And we thank you so much.
That wraps it up for tonight, folks. Want to thank Bing and Jane. And remember what we told you about Chesterfields, and try them today. Get Chesterfield mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Only Chesterfield has it. So, sound off for Chesterfield.
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it.
Today.
Listen to the Bob Hope Show next week from Camp Pendleton with our special guests, Hedy Lamarr and Jerry Colonna. Jane Russell is currently starring in RKO's His Kind of Woman. Chesterfield has brought you the Bob Hope Show, written by Marvin Fisher, Norman Sullivan, and Larry Klein. Transcribed direct from Long Beach, California.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.